Welcome to Newsman Bass. This is Dylan. Hey, got another couple of guitars I want to talk about tonight. The intro was brought to you by another one of these darn Silvertone 604s. Got it today, and it's pretty cool. This is the 604 AVS, which is like an American vintage Sunburst. So it's a lacquered finish on this one. It's the same as the other guitar, except it's a spruce top, and the other one's all mahogany. And I will say, I thought the mahogany was going to be a little bit darker tone, but I think it's a little brighter than this one. And I think maybe the lacquer has something to do with it, but this one's got a real deep, rich tone to it. Sounds great. I just been playing it tonight. I do need to do a little setup to it, but for the most part, it's excellent guitar. I still think these are, for the bang and for the buck, I think these are really awesome. Just great guitars. I say the neck profile on this one feels a little different, but I really do think it's the lacquer finish that it has. Sometimes a lacquer finish can make a thing feel just slightly thicker than if it has a matte finish, which is, you know, obviously it's going to be, but you can really tell the difference sometimes, especially if you're really fine-tuned to a neck. Some guys are, some guys aren't. Some guys, you know, as long as it's a flat radius, they don't give, you know, they don't care, you know. For me, I got a lot of guitars, and I kind of, a neck can really feel different to me. Just the slightest little bit of difference will make it totally different. And it does have a different feel. I love the color. The vintage Sunburst is pretty. I'm usually not one for this much lacquer on a Sunburst finish, because I'll tell you what happens with Sunburst finishes is they show a lot of fingerprints. A lot of fingerprints, and that's fine. It is what it is. But it's still a beautiful guitar. And the tuning is just great. It's got the standard, like, vintage style tuning keys, which they're not Cluson or anything, or Wilkinson. They're just in-house, you know, stuff that Silvertone's using, which is really nice. It's a really super nice guitar. I think these retail for $300 straight. And then the electric acoustic model, I'm pretty sure, is $399. Also, like, not a bad steal at all. I think this is a great guitar. Absolutely nothing wrong with it at all. Just beautiful. I'm happy to add it to the collection. It compared to the other one, though, like, okay, so there's a little bit of strumming. I'm just going to just strum some basic chords. Pretty basic sound there. And let's move over to the matte finished mahogany one. I think this one has a clarity of tone. I think it's just brighter sounding. The other one, it does have a little bit more darkness to it. I love this mahogany model. I think, for the money, I think it's a better one. I think it's a better guitar. And it could just be me and my preference. Man, I really, really dig it. And I don't know if this will come through on the podcast, but I've been messing around with the sound it can get. I don't know if you can hear that, but the tops of these guitars are so resonant that you can kind of like wave your hand above them and get almost like a tremolo or a phaser effect out of like it's literally like a resonance phaser, which is just so cool. I'll be honest with you, this one, the mahogany one, the ease of play on this one is just incredible. The satin finish it has is awesome. Between the two, it is my favorite. I think the look of it's awesome. The feel is just awesome. It's $50 cheaper, and I honestly think it's a better buy. I think if I had to do it again, I would definitely just stick with the mahogany one. And yeah, but I really love these small parlor bodies. And this one has a good tone too. It definitely projects a little bit more, and it just has more of a focused tone, I would say. Not as resonant as the other one. A lot of that is due to the lacquer finish. So when you're looking at these guitars, know that when you're getting something that has a matte finish versus something that's all lacquered up, yeah, that guitar that's all lacquered up, it's going to look beautiful. But that matte finish, that open pore finish, always has a lot more airiness to it. There is an airiness to the sound that you get with that that a lot of vintage instruments have. Because a lot of vintage instruments didn't have a high gloss finish to really hold back their tone. So just be aware of that when you're buying. And just remember that matte finish model, it might be cheaper, does not mean it's bad. It is not a bad model to go with. It's actually a pretty decent, awesome guitar. But yeah, with that being said, two 604s are in. Both are killer. They are different guitars. I can honestly say, would I say it's worth having both of them? Probably not. You're probably just good having one or the other. And that's all on preference, but it is really fun having both of them because now I can see my uses for both of them and exactly how I could, you know, utilize both sounds. And that's really, really cool. Off of that, let's see. Got some other funky stuff to talk about this week. So, I acquired something really strange. And I haven't really got to show anybody or talk to anybody about it. And that is, I got an Indie Guitars Rickenbacker copy. And this thing is really, really, really funky. So, as far as I could tell, it's called an Indie Guitars IRK5. Okay? Which, to me, that's Indie Rick 5. And I'm wondering if 5 is because of the 5 different variations they've had to go through to get to this point. Of making this guitar, but this is an older guitar. I think it's from my best guess on this is probably about 2005, 2006. So it's not super old, but it is old in its sense. It is in a maple glow color, which is cool. It is not like a Rickenbacker maple glow, though. It's dark. It has a dark, dark maple glow to it, which is really neat. It's more of almost like a butterscotch color, which is really cool. I would say it's based around a 330 model Rickenbacker, but it has the attributes of a 360 in the sense that it's got the rounded body, but it is shaped more like a 330 with the points instead of like the rounded horns. It does not have the blend knob or the blend switch that the other IRK, I think the IRK6 has, for stereo. It has two mini humbuckers that look like high-gain Rickenbacker pickups, minus the pole pieces. And they sound awesome. I got it plugged up here so you can hear a little sample of it. The playability of this thing is outrageous. It is so good. Out of the box, I don't know, this is one of those weird guitars where, when I pulled it out of the box, I wasn't expecting it to play good at all because it's an older guitar. The frets on it are perfect. The setup on it is absolutely perfect. Yeah, it's just killer. So I'm going to start bridge pickup, middle pickup, or middle position, and then neck pickup. It's only got two pickups, not three. And man, it really, this is not the best amp to demo anything through, but that bridge pickup, it's just so spanky and loud. Really has that Rickenbacker sound on that bridge pickup. Awesome. Jumping up to the middle position. Really good blend of the two, which I really like. The neck is really strangely dark. Really cool sounds. If you're wondering why I'm playing through the amp I'm playing through, it's the closest thing to me, and I'll be honest with you, I really dig playing through it at night, and that is, you're going to laugh, but it is the Vox Pathfinder 10 for bass, not for guitar. And the reason why is it's got two speakers, it has a really weird, like, solid state overdrive that is really crappy. But it is the closest to like a vintage Vox Escort that I've ever found. And I love the tone of that. And that, believe it or not, is a really kind of weird oddball sound for like lo-fi rock garage band stuff, which I'm into. And it's perfect. But cool guitar. Anyway, these indie guitars, they're no longer a company. They've been gone for a while. I'm not sure exactly why, but they're a British brand, and a lot of them pop up in like Australia, which is really strange. This one that I have, it didn't come from Australia when I bought it. I think it came from Australia before I got it, though, judging by what they were saying in the descriptions about it. But I ran across this thing on eBay, of all places, and I just made an offer, and it just happened to work. I don't think anybody else made an offer on it. And I'm finding prices on these things anywhere between, like, $4.99 up to, like, $9.99, which is crazy. And I will say, though, the quality of it is nothing short of like actual Rickenbacker quality. It's insane. I have played Rickenbackers that I swear feel like trash, and this feels like a guitar. This doesn't feel crappy. It feels really solid, well built. The neck is, like I said, perfect. It's actually got one of the best feeling like neck carves I've felt in a really long time. And you can really get up the neck. You're up the fretboard all up to the 24th fret, which is amazing. Even on the low E, which is awesome. This thing is incredible. I looking at their other models, I don't think I'd go with any other of the indie models. They all look a little bit like early 2000s guitars, and since they're cheesy and they look like they're meant for a metal band or some kind of early 2000s pop band or something. I don't know, but they don't fit my style other than this particular model, this Rickenbacker. And I will say, and it's not a Rickenbacker, but I will say the coolest things about it are the body is just so interesting because the look is the marriage of those two models, those two Rickenbacker models, two most famous ones. And it's done so well and so flawlessly that it's the best looking of the copies I've ever seen, or the tributes. It really makes the Harley Benton look like garbage, because the Harley Benton tribute, to me, is, I've had the bass, and I liked it, but it just didn't give me exactly what I wanted. And I did like it over a Rickenbacker bass, believe it or not. I thought the sound was a little bit better, weirdly, and I know that's, terrible, but it is what it is. The headstock on this thing is the ugliest part. It's like a cross between like a Paul Reed Smith headstock and PV headstock or something. I don't know. It's just an ugly headstock with their version of kind of like a Rickenbacker style truss rod cover, which is also just ugly. So tuning keys are nothing to write home about or anything, but they work great, and it's been in tune, and it is in tune from wherever it came from, which is great. Like I said, everything about it is just great. The figuring in the wood is amazing. You can look it up and see it online. If you just look up the Indy IRK5, this one's the one that pops up in Google. This pops up immediately, and you will see it. It's the only one that has popped up, other than, like, there's a couple you can find in the fire glow color. And I've seen a black one. And I'll be honest with you, they're all beautiful, but I really love this maple glow. I'm kind of happy that this is the model I came across, because it's just cool looking, man. It looks like the maple glow I recognize from the 70s, like the late 70s of Rickenbackers. It's like the Rickenbacker, when Rickenbacker got kind of badass, and they dropped the whole, like, Beatles feel, and they went kind of more along the way of, like, Thin Lizzy. You know, they had that more of, like, MC5 vibe to them. It's cool. I dig it. I really dig it. It's got the two-layer pick guard. You know, you get the top layer pick guard, the one that's raised, and then you got the other pick guard under it, just like a real Rickenbacker. The tailpiece is just a generic floating tailpiece down there, but does have the Rickenbacker-style bridge. And this one is great because it's set up correctly, and it doesn't get in my way, and I can still palm mute, which a lot of people say they can't palm mute on Rickenbackers. You totally can on this thing, so maybe that's something that's got over a Rickenbacker. This is a fantastic guitar. I would buy another one, honest to goodness, if I ever find one, which I, from what I'm reading, they're pretty hard to find. They didn't make a whole lot of them. So I'm excited to have this guy. And if you get a chance to research any of these indie guitars, check them out. INDIE, Indie Guitars. Really weird, funky brand. And interesting, to say the least. I got one more thing to really talk about here. Let's see. Put that down. So, also received another funky guitar. And this is more of like a project guitar than anything. This is a Framus Junior 6 from 1972. This is a single pickup model. Exactly what it sounds like is a Junior. So based around their Strato Deluxe models, which are like their version of like a Jaguar or Jazzmaster. This is in the red color. It did have a parchment pickguard, but some point in the past somebody made their very own Perloid pickguard to put on it. It looks like an older Perloid because it's real aged. And it looks great. The pickup on this thing is the old school big Framus single coil pickup that they would have used in their guitars in the 70s, which is around for a lot of different models. And it has the characteristics of just a cheap guitar that you would get from the 70s, but I mean, it does have that Fender vibe too, and it's thin. You can tell that's all the volume I'm getting out of it. And that is, I didn't change any of my settings on my amp. That's between it and the other guitar. That's just a lot quieter. You can hear it's got very, very thin sound. It is picking up everything in this room right now. So there's just a lot of hiss and hum from it because it is a single coil. And it is a little microphonic. Pretty normal, though, on these kind of pickups. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've played vintage Fenders that are microphonic. So, it's not a deal breaker for me to have a microphonic pickup at all. It does have a Framus tremolo system on it, from the 60s, and I say from the 60s because this is what they used on their Atlantic models and stuff like that, so this is a tremolo that they used for a long time. I do need to do some work to it because the spring is completely compressed, and it doesn't give you any room to actually do any bends or anything. I can pull back on it, but I can't do anything else. It did come with the original trem arm. Somebody put a Mustang bridge on it, as opposed to just keeping the original style Framus bridge, which is okay, because it does intonate a little bit better with this, but I will say, I think it's a little bit too wide for it, so that's going to be something I change out in the future. It's got button tuners, the white button tuners, which are great, and they're in good shape. Interesting things it has a metal nut and a zero fret. And it's real reminiscent of Moss Wright in that sense. And I would say in the sense of tone, it's real reminiscent of Moss Wright as well. The neck has a thicker profile neck, real typical of this time period. And it is made of like a press board material. Where you can see is, golly, there must be about 60 plies of wood here that make up this neck, which is really awesome. And it has a very neat satin finish to it, because it's just old, which is really cool. Still has the Framus logo on it. It has a string tree, just like a Fender. It's got a Fender-shaped headstock, which is pretty hilarious, but it does have a truss rod cover. The body is really thin, an interesting thin body. I'd say an inch, yeah, about an inch wide, you know, real thin wood body. I don't even know what wood it is. I'm going to assume it's some kind of particle board or plywood, just because this is their cheapest model, at the time. But it's really cool looking. And I would say if you're in the market for single pickup guitars, a lot of people kind of go for Fender Music Masters. I really have a love for the Music Master and the Swinger and the Bronco and the Esquire, all those things. But there isn't one that fits in the Jaguar Jazzmaster range. There's not a single pickup model of those. This is it. But it's another company, and it's by Framus. And it's really cool. I gotta say, man, if you get a chance to ever play one or see one or pick up one, it is worth a try. Gives you that Sonic Youth thing down there. Yeah, access to all the frets. Is this a real basic 21 fretboard? The frets are, believe it or not, they're like jumbo frets on this thing, for the time period, which is really strange. They're jumbo, but they're a little bit flatter jumbos. I absolutely love it. I think it's a really cool guitar. It plays great and gives you another vintage vibe, you know. I think it's a really neat guitar. I think it's funky. I think it's worth finding them and getting them if you can. They came in black, white, and red. They had base models that came in blue, red. I think I've seen white and black in those as well. I mean, you can't go wrong. It is a German brand that is still around today. They still make guitars, and their guitars now are high-end, expensive, wonderful guitars made by the Warwick Company, which is awesome. You would not be able to get this guitar now for anything cheaper than probably $1,000. It kind of gives you the vibe of something like some of the boutique brands that are out there right now, like Abernathy or something like that. Kind of gives you that vibe. It's like they're going for this kind of guitar when they build their guitars. You know what I'm saying? You could make this into something way cooler if you want to. You could put a different pickup in it, and you could really soup it up and make it awesome. Or you can leave it as is and just go with the vintage charm that it has, which I totally 100% plan on doing. I think it's absolutely incredible the way it is. Yeah, it's not a sound that everybody's going to love, but it is a sound. And that's what you got to get through to your head when you're buying guitars, is there are guitars that everybody thinks does it all, like a Stratocaster, okay? It doesn't do this. It does everything a Strat does. It doesn't do this. This is a one-trick pony in some ways, and in some ways, it's just like a Les Paul Jr., except a little bit thinner sounding. And some people think a Les Paul Jr. is like the best guitar in the world because of the control you have over one pickup. And so, yeah, this is that kind of feel. You get that kind of vibe out of a Jaguar-style body. And scale length. It is the same scale length as my Jaguar. So it's got that little bit shorter scale length, which is so, so cool. Gives it a really cool springy vibe. They are really neat guitars. All the Framus models I've ever played or had have always been interesting and weird and unique. I've never owned any of the new models. And they got some really beautiful new stuff out now. They got acoustics that are just absolutely awesome. I know Phil X has like a signature model that's kind of reminiscent of an SG. I know Jack Bruce has an SG type bass through Warwick. And yeah, I mean, they're just really interesting. And I know that they've reissued some other bizarre vintage Framus models in past years, like a Jimmy Laurento hollow body. It's just like a thin line, which is really cool, with this big metal pick guard. Really neat, interesting stuff that no other company was doing, and that made them interesting, and it made them fun. And to me, that sometimes you want to find that one vintage piece that sets your collection apart, or you just want to find something that's not a Fender, a Gibson, or an Ibanez, or a Guild. Or, you know, you just want to find something weird, you know? You just want to find something that is different enough that you can scratch that itch, but also kind of similar enough that it fits into your realm. You know what I mean? There's some vintage guitars that are just too out there, like a Wandra. You know, Wandras are bizarre. They're awesome, but you know, who are they for? But yeah, Framus Company, like I said, still around, still doing stuff. They do not make this model though, and if you're interested in looking them up, the Framus Junior 6, so they go, price-wise, they're kind of all over the map. I've seen them go for like $200 in pretty bad condition, all up to $1,200 in good condition. I think this guitar is not a $1,200 guitar. Even if it was in absolutely pristine condition, there would be no way it's a $1,200 guitar. I think it's I think at most this is a $500 guitar. And that's just based on vintage values of, you know, today. But it is definitely, I wouldn't even say it's a niche market because it's so Fender-esque and different and it plays so good. I think anybody would enjoy this guitar. I think it's one of those interesting pieces that you can find and really fall in love with and have a good time with. That being said, that's all the weird stuff I got new going on. This episode really was more to show that Silvertone from earlier. which is an awesome guitar. I totally recommend those Silver Tones. Just absolutely killer. And on that subject of the Silver Tones, I found this other brand, and I'm confused by it. So there is a store called Gearwire, and they carry a brand called Heartwood. And Heartwood makes the same exact guitars that Silvertone's making, minus the electrics. They have their own special electrics, which are like a Les Paul hollow body, 335 copy. They have one that's kind of a surfy looking take on like a Jaguar Jazzmaster, but with humbuckers and a Bigsby. And then they have some acoustics and some amps, no basses, which is a bummer. But the weirdest thing is that their acoustics, they have a whole line of vintage-inspired acoustics, and they are exactly the same as these Silvertones, which I understand these guitars are made in factories, and you know, other brands make them too, and they just slap names on them, and that's what they used to do in the 60s as well. Silvertone and Harmony, I mean, you know, made the same damn guitar for a long time. So I guess it's kind of that kind of thing. But if you're looking and you want to try out a 604, Heartwood has the same guitar. So check out the Heartwood models as well, because I can only imagine it's the same exact feel and look as the one I have. So they're very interesting as well. Trying to think if there's anything else. Let's see. I went to Guitar Center the other day, and I picked up something that I haven't played before, and that was a 65 Chet Atkins Tennessee Rose model, I believe that's what it was. I picked that up. It was $1,800, and I played it, and I was really expecting it to be like, you know, just devastatingly awesome. I wanted it to be just so good that I wanted it. And this is the thing of vintage guitars. So right now I'm holding this Framus, and to me this is a $150 guitar I'm holding in my hand personally, because it's a project, and new they were probably like $25. That particular Gretsch was one of the high-end models back then, which means it was probably expensive. And I don't know exactly what they were going for, but I'm going to assume it's probably around $300 to $400 back then, maybe even a little bit more, maybe $500, which is super high-end for the time. $1,800 now on it, it's actually a good price for that one, because I've seen them go for a heck of a lot more. But it did not do it for me. The tone was just dead. The pickups did not ring out at all. There's no mid-range, no nothing to it. It had like a weird scoop tone. It had some switches on it that I love the idea of having all the Gretsch switches with like the treble boost or the bass boost and the mute and all these weird functions that they thought would be useful. But I gotta say, my favorite Gretsch I've ever played, and I've had a few Gretches, and I have a few now, is the Streamliner with the weird chrome P90s that they made. That thing is awesome. And it's just got a three-way switch, and the only thing I don't like about it is it doesn't have volume, tone, volume, tone. It's got two volumes, or three volumes in one tone, which to me I think is just asinine. I don't know why I need three volumes. But I think that guitar is way cooler than the $1,800 guitar I played at Guitar Center. And it gives me the same vibes. I still get that vintage Gretsch vibe with it, which is great. And it could have been because it was a Guitar Center guitar. You know, it's hanging there, and it felt like it needed a setup, and it felt like it needed a lot of work. But when it comes down to it, it was a player's guitar. It had been played to death. Sometimes that's great. Sometimes people love that. I'm not a person that loves that. I picked up that guitar and I just had to put it back down. And I said, you know, I told the guy that was behind me, who was wanting to play it. He just, there was a gentleman there who was just like, oh my gosh, I'm glad you got that down. Let me try it when you get done. I handed him the guitar, and he too had the same kind of look on his face, like, it's not what I was expecting. It was a little bit of a letdown. I don't think Gretsch does a new one of it, and if they do, I haven't seen it. I would be interested in a newer version of it, but as of right now, I'm not super happy with Gretsch and some of their models and some of their decisions they're making. I think they need to stay focused on some of their original models and put out some more things that they just haven't put out. And I think that they need to make stuff like the original, like Firebirds and stuff like that, in the Electromatic bodies and shapes. Because they're obviously being made over in China as like a Chinese knockoff of the Thunderbirds, like the Bo Diddley Thunderbird and the Billy Bo, I think, which is the Billy Gibbons guitar. They're making those in China. They're making like a pretty good, accurate rendition of it over there. Why aren't we having that made over here in Streamliner or Electromatic, you know, models? It just doesn't make any sense to me. I think they're missing on the opportunity to make just absolutely slamming money making that. Instead of, they're putting out things like they made a bass for the bass player from Cheap Trick. It's like a 12-string hollow body bass. Who is that for? Who's playing a 12-string hollow body bass that costs $14,000? Who is that for? What are you guys thinking, Gretsch? I mean, that's outrageous. That's crazy. Nobody's buying that. Nobody's buying that. But they would just make money hand over fist if they made models like the Thunderbird or the Billy Bow or whatever, the Jet Firebirds that are flat tops and hollow body. If they made those Electromatics, oh my gosh, yeah. Whew, they'd clean house. I mean, Fender would be making money, everybody would be making money, Gibson would just be packing it up because they would not be able to keep up with that. They just couldn't. Epiphone could not make anything cool enough to compete with that. That's my two cents on that right there. I'm just kind of pissed off at Gretsch. And playing that vintage one was what did it for me. And it's not the new company's fault. It's just, that's where I stand. I think they're making bad decisions. And I wish that they would make better guitars now. And I played that guitar, the old guitar, which should have been a good guitar. And I don't know, just let me down. I don't know. Other than that, it's really all I got tonight. I just, weird episode tonight. It's a little late, and I figured I needed to make one to talk about that. I'm going to do another episode soon on these the AIO Rickenbacker copy against the IYV Rickenbacker copy, which is the same guitar, essentially, minus a few things. And I'm going to put those against the indie guitar to kind of give like a sound sample of what all three of them are different. And they have their own weird intricacies to them. The next episode I'll do about that. And I hope you tune back in to hear it. Other than that, that's all I got for you tonight. I really appreciate you listening. Check out the Silvertone 604s. Check out the Framus. If you're lucky enough, you'll see one of these indie guitars, and you can check it out too. Have a good night. We'll see you later. Bye.